live. It's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Cause every minute, every hour, you'll be shaking by the string of my power.
We have to talk a lot of Major League Baseball today because opening day, it's now in the rear view, and we can look ahead to the next 161 games. Now, we had baseball all day yesterday, literally 11 o'clock in the morning, all the way until 8 o'clock at night. We had games going. It was fantastic. Today, it's a little bit different. Major League Baseball decides. We get our first game at 4:40 coming up in just a bit. Mets at Marlins. We'll talk about the Mets. And then the last game, the nightcap games, it's the Diamondbacks, Dodgers, Guardians, Mariners. In between those three games I just mentioned, only two. Very short slate. We'll talk about opening day, some of the top performances, and of course, everybody always jumps the gun. You get too excited or you get too down. Pace yourself. We're playing until October. Joining us right now to have that conversation, Steve Bordstein. He's going to join us throughout the baseball season to talk all the great storylines. And Steve, yesterday, we had plenty of them.
But to your point, let's overreact to everything. Let's automatically eliminate teams from the postseason. Let's automatically determine the division winners right now because we're one game in. No, this is the fun part, right? This is where, you know, the prognosticators, they get to kind of shout a little bit or they get to hide their face a little bit on opening day. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a long run in. But I think you start to see some, you'll start to see some trends develop the first weekend. You know, again, a light slate today, but you'll start to see some trends develop. And one of the trends that you and I talked about off the air a little bit is the Anaheim Angels. Let's just start with the Anaheim Angels for just please just allow me for one moment to just tell you wherever Shohei Ohtani is going, and newsflash, he's going somewhere. Shohei Ohtani, the reason he's going to go somewhere else is because the Angels are awful. They can't score runs. Shohei Ohtani threw 10 or 11 strikeouts yesterday and lost to the Oakland A's, who might be one of the worst teams in baseball.
I think you could make the argument that on paper, the Oakland A's may be one of the worst teams we've ever seen. Now, I know on paper and on the field are two completely different things, but this is a lineup that features Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Anthony Rendon, Brandon Drury, Hunter Renfroe, and they couldn't get to Kyle Muller yesterday. Think about that.
Spring training. Who was god-awful in spring training?
He was terrible. The fact that this guy was the opening day starter, if you're an Oakland A's fan, you're hiding your face. I know Oakland A's fans, and they've told me, just don't lose 100 games. That's their goal for this season. And again, I know it's overreaction, right? It's day one, but for Shohei Ohtani, it's a wasted start where he was absolutely brilliant. See, hitters may have 162 games. Pitchers do not. And the fact is, Ohtani went six innings, allowed two hits, no earned runs, and fanned 10. And this guy could not get the victory yesterday. You're right. That's why he's gone.
And that is going to be, I think, the blueprint for why he will leave this season, whether it be in August or whether it be at the end of the season. But he's going somewhere. Now, my hope, and I know your hope as a Dodger fan, is that instead of making the right turn on the 405 freeway to go to Orange County, he will make the left turn on the 405 freeway and head to Chavez Ravine. That's our hope. Whether that pans out or not, I think it's the worst kept secret in baseball that he will be. But this is why he will go. Because Angels fans will wonder, well, why did he leave? Should we give him all this money? We did this. Because you're terrible. Because your organization is bad. That's why.
Yeah. In fact, the organization is trying to cut back economically to the point to where yesterday they made the, well, not yesterday, 2 days ago, they made the announcement that their play-by-play crew would not be traveling on the road. Their play-by-play crew for radio will be staying back at Angel Stadium all year and broadcasting remotely on the radio for road games because they are trying to cut back economics. They say it doesn't make sense. What does that tell you? Shohei Ohtani, best player in the world. You want to play for a franchise like that? I don't think so. Steve, if we talk about how great Ohtani was yesterday, I think we have to put a team that I believe will come out of the American League this year in the New York Yankees as long as this pitching rotation stays healthy. I don't think anyone wants any part of the Yankees. They topped the Giants yesterday 5-0. Aaron Judge wastes no time, knocks a home run in his first at-bat of the season. But Gerrit Cole was simply marvelous. Six innings, three hits, 11 Ks, very, very similar to Shohei Ohtani. The difference is he got instant run support and the Yankees get the win. Cole looked every bit as good as what the Yankees are paying him.
Yeah, Cole was outstanding. And, you know, that's going to be a fun division race to watch with the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays, because we'll talk about their opening day here in a moment. But, yeah, if Judge continues to be Judge and if Cole continues to be Cole and everyone else contributes as we expect them to for the Yankees this season, you know, we knew this coming in. This was going to be one of the teams to beat all season, you know, with Judge now getting paid and Cole now, you know, secure in his position there. Yeah, that was an outstanding performance yesterday. And Aaron Judge, I think you even got the sense just watching Aaron Judge, you know, because last season, at the end of last season, there was all the speculation. There was some discomfort, if you will, maybe with the Yankees about what his long-term status was going to be. Now that that's in the books now, and now that Cole's definitely settled in and had the magnificent performance he had yesterday against a pretty good Giants team, maybe not on paper, maybe not star power-wise, you know, all the way down, up and down that lineup, but a good functioning team, and they absolutely just got obliterated by Gerrit Cole yesterday.
Yeah, I think when you talk about the Yankees, Tampa's always going to be one of those teams that will be lurking, but the Toronto Blue Jays are pretty good. And we got to see this yesterday. I do have some concerns about the Blue Jays because I think their rotation is a little weak in comparison to New York. I'm always going to favor a team with a better rotation. And when the Yankees are healthy, that four-man rotation that they can throw at you in the playoffs is going to be absolutely deadly. However, the Blue Jays have firepower. And for those people that love runs, they want to see high-scoring games, you're going to fall in love with the Toronto Blue Jays because it's Springer, it's Bichette, it's Guerrero, it's Varsho, who I think is going to fill in very nicely in that outfield. Chapman is in the Brandon Belt. You got Craig Biggio. This is a very, very good baseball team, and they put up 10 against a very good St. Louis Cardinal team yesterday. That was a very impressive performance.
And I guess this is going to be that six of one, half a dozen of the other stories, because as Major League Baseball now is getting into, we want a faster-paced game, we want games to be shorter, this one took forever, 3 hours and 36 minutes. Now, granted, there was a lot of action. So there was a lot of runs scored. There were, 34 hits. You had multiple lead changes. There was a lot of action in this game. But is this the look of baseball? Was that the only way we're going to get a high-scoring game, is it's got to go 3.5 hours, or do we want the 2.5-hour game? That'll be something that MLB will kind of learn to, you know, juxtaposition themselves around a little bit. To your point, though, yes, this was a phenomenal day for offense for the Toronto Blue Jays. St. Louis is going to have some issues, I think. They're going to be, and again, this is always St. Louis, though. They always start off that bit slow, and then they make that big run. They make a couple of moves at the trade deadline, and suddenly in August and September, they're the hottest team in baseball. So if you're a Cardinals fan, don't get too worried about it. But you're right. Tyler O'Neill was amazing. George Springer, another outstanding performance from him. So, yeah, they're going to be a fun team, and that's going to be a fun division race. Again, if the Yankees do what the Yankees do, if the Blue Jays do what they do as far as being able to score runs, and then you mentioned Tampa Bay, and I know we'll talk about them here in a second, but that is going to be one of the most wildly entertaining division races in baseball.
Tampa Bay, once again, is a team that's not going to jump out at you on paper. You're not going to look at this roster and get giddy about it, but I guarantee you, as we get down to the stretch, when we hit the dog days of summer, we're going to look at the Rays and they're going to rally off 9-10 consecutive wins, and we're going to be talking about Tampa once again. This happens every single year. We always talk about the Cardinal way, whatever the hell that is. I have to hear about the Cardinal way all the time. I'm assuming it's the way the franchise just continues to produce. They run like a well-oiled machine. I'm assuming that's what the Cardinal way is. I've been trying to figure this out now for like 20 years. Well, if that's a thing, then we have the Ray way. And I'm telling you right now, Tampa Bay may not win this division. They're not on the same level as New York and Toronto, but they will be a player come playoff time.
And getting a shutout victory on opening day against the Detroit Tigers, who are going to be in that conversation among some of the worst teams in baseball this year, getting a victory over the Detroit Tigers is not going to define their season. But you have to go back and take a look at what Shane McClanahan did yesterday for the Rays, because he was outstanding. Six innings, gave up just four hits, one walk, six strikeouts, and threw 87 pitches in six innings. I always believe that a good inning pitched is 15. That's the number you kind of want to have. He was 300 that number through six innings, and he was amazing yesterday. So again, it is that Ray way. They're not going to blow you off the field with names. Obviously, you got talent on that team, obviously, from an offensive standpoint. They're not going to blow you away with it. But that is going to be a team to fear this season, because they were amazing yesterday. And I thought they were absolutely outstanding yesterday. And I'm happy to see that they wore the Devil Rays jerseys.
Yes.
Because for all those people who are offended by the word devil, I don't really understand that. That's kind of the thing. But huge performance yesterday from Tampa Bay, and good for them, because that's going to be that again is going to make that division race unbelievable this year in the AL East.
Again, Steve Bortstein, our guest right now, as we talk about opening day for Major League Baseball. Steve, we've talked about some performances that were great. I'm going to mention one that maybe some worrisome starting to creep in. Okay, I think last year Corbin Burnes was the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, and I thought, okay, he's the best pitcher in the National League, hands down. Then towards the end of last season, through September, Corbin Burnes had a 4.8 ERA. In October, he had a 3.5 ERA. And yesterday against the Chicago Cubs, he did not look great. And I know that, and I kind of relate this to what you're talking about in the form of Aaron Judge. He looked comfortable. We know that there's some bad blood right now between Corbin Burnes and the Milwaukee Brewers organization. It's now 2 months of steady baseball where this guy's hovering around a 4 ERA. Yesterday, he gives up four earned runs to the Cubs. I'm starting to worry about Corbin Burnes just a little bit in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's kind of been walking that tightrope for a while now, haven't they? I mean, you mentioned it a moment ago. There's some bad blood, obviously, between teams. But, I mean, I've always kind of wondered, how much longer the Milwaukee Brewers were going to look, the way they did in that season a few years ago when they nearly made the World Series. And I just don't see it anymore from the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, let's chalk it up to it was 42 degrees. It was cold day. These things will take time. But, yeah, this was an erratic performance at best for Corbin Burnes. Walked three, struck out three. Their offense is off to, again, that kind of slow start. I personally didn't mind seeing Cody Bellinger not do much, because you and I talked about that last week. Look, like the one guy I don't want to see do well, being a former Dodgers, Cody Bellinger. But we'll keep that kind of in wraps a little bit. But yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about the Brewers. I'm concerned about the Cubs. I mean, I don't know what they do here. This was Dansby Swanson was impressive, I guess, backing up Marcus Stroman. But I think it's going to be a long year for Milwaukee.
I can see it. And the Cubs, to me, are a team. Stroman looked great yesterday. And I think that the Cubs have some. Cody Bellinger's a low-risk, high-reward type guy. The thing is, when hitters typically hover around 200 for consecutive years, that's what they are. It's really hard to break out of that. I'll root for Cody Bellinger. I will. I would love to see him do good. This is a former MVP who had some injury problems, and he's performed well in the postseason. It's just you hit 200 as a center fielder. You're known now for your defense, so I don't know what the Cubs think they're going to get out of him. But look, Dansby Swanson was really good yesterday as well, and so I think if you're a Cubs fan, there are definitely some positives. Steve, outside of that, I mean, really, I thought the majority of the performances yesterday were pretty good. Washington's another team we can talk about. If we're talking about bad performance, that's a bad team. They have so much youth on that squad. I think they're oozing with potential, but there's just a lot to work through right now. Best performance of opening day, which team do you give it to?
Ooh, best performance opening day. Who do I give that to? Wow. I'll give you one, and it's going to sound odd to say this.
Okay.
How about the Colorado Rockies beating San Diego? And again, it's weird to say that, but this was a good performance. German Marquez, the Rockies relievers, played well. They kept Juan Soto off the, going 0-for-4 in the game. CJ Cron, who homered twice, big night for him. The Rockies aren't going anywhere this year, but that's a big win, and it's an equally big loss, right, for San Diego, because all we heard about this offseason was how great San Diego was going to be. They made some offseason moves. Juan Soto's now in his first full season there, and they were god-awful yesterday. So I'll give the Rockies that one as far as the best performance of the day is concerned. And I'll also, with some caution, I'll also throw out the New York Mets. I thought they were impressive as well. But now you have to worry about a possible second injury to their pitching staff. Now you got Justin Verlander on the IL, already Edwin Diaz out for the year. You got to worry a little bit about the Mets going forward.
Yeah, I like the call on the Rockies. And I don't believe the Rockies are going anywhere. And yes, I do believe that yesterday was an anomaly. Although these divisional games, remember, they're tapered back quite a bit. I will say this about the Rockies. Chris Bryant, Charlie Blackmon, CJ Krohn, Ryan McMahon is another guy that's going to be batting probably towards the middle of that lineup. I know he was logging time at second base yesterday. Tovar's hitting at the back half of that lineup. I think he was hitting out of the ninth spot, if I'm not mistaken, yesterday. There's some dudes in that lineup. Let's put it this way. The Rockies are going to be able to score runs. And, you know, I think that's a good thing for the people of Colorado, because typically the only reason you attend a Rocky game second half of the season is to see the visiting team. I think this Rocky squad will be entertaining. I don't believe that this rotation is going to hold teams to 2-3 runs, but they can produce runs. They have some names in that lineup.
No question about it. And if you're a Dodgers fan or you're not a Dodgers fan and you're a Padres fan, let's just dispel all the rumors right now about the demise of the L.A. Dodgers after what they did yesterday. Julio Urias, again, a shaky start to the game. He has those a lot. But the offense produced yesterday, including James Outman, who had a big, big game in his first outing, hitting a two-run home run. Will Smith, who I think is a sleeper candidate for MVP this year, he had a great game. And Dodgers are going to be just fine. Yes, I'm worried about the depth of their rotation a little bit, as is anyone who's a Dodgers fan. But they're going to be fine. They're going to score plenty.
Yeah, as far as the Dodgers go, and again, the rotation is what worries me the most, because we know at some point in time Clayton Kershaw will have a lengthy IL visit. It happens every year at this stage in his career. He's carried this franchise for 10-plus seasons. It's going to happen, and without Walker Buehler, it's almost as if they're going to have to make a move to strengthen that rotation. But the one thing that stands out to me about the Dodgers is because they lost Trey Turner, because they lost Justin Turner, I think there was this thought that this offense lost a ton of power, a lot of oomph. Last night, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, Max Muncy, David Peralta, who I think was a really, really solid under-the-radar signing. They have their new middle infielder, Miguel Vargas. James Outman went yard in this game. No, they still can produce. I mean, make no mistake about it. Losing Trey Turner hurts. Replacing him with Miguel Rojas is a big drop-off. But still, I'll take a lineup that has Mookie, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, and Max Muncy batting 1-5. And add J.D. Martinez as protection for Max Muncy. Yeah, that's a pretty good lineup.
They'll be just fine. It's going to be a fun race, and everyone's going to have their nights. Everyone's going to have, you know, big games throughout the year. Juan Soto's not going to go hitless forever, but you know it's going to be a fun race, and it'll be a dynamic one to watch indeed. And yes, we are now done overreacting to game one.
Yeah. The anticipation was just too great, right? Although I will say this, that out of everything that we talked about, the two things that I don't believe I'm overreacting on, and look, you and I will have conversations, I know, throughout the entire summer, and we can keep tabs on this. There's two things. I don't believe I'm overreacting to the problems of Corbin Burns. Okay, we saw this for 2 months last season. He was not good. We know that there's an ugly contract situation going on with the Brewers right now. I think there's problems with a former NL Cy Young Award winner, and I would not be surprised if the Brewers at least entertain the idea of moving him. There's obviously problems there, okay? So keep an eye on that. And the Angels, that's a bad baseball team, and if they are smart, they would move on from Ohtani sooner than later. Otherwise, you're going to lose him for absolutely nothing. Those are the two things that I don't believe I'm overreacting on after game one, and we can monitor those throughout the summer.
And I'll give you one more, and I'll throw this one out there. Watch the rotation on the Atlanta Braves, because there's going to be some problems with this Atlanta Braves rotation. You had Max Fried, who left the game in the fourth inning. They're already starting the season with a couple of rookies in their rotation. That could be an issue later on. As much power as they have, as much offense as they have, there's going to be some issues with that Atlanta Braves rotation sometime down the road here.
I agree. Here's the reason why I think the Braves can overcome that. Their bullpen is the best in Major League Baseball. I'll take their bullpen 1-5, 1-6 over anyone in the game.
But if they can't put runs up early, they won't be using those guys.
It's a good point. Yep. Steve Bordstein, again, our guest right now. Steve, it is always a pleasure to get you on the show. We'll do it again soon. I'm going to be out of the studio next week, but we'll do it when I get back. And then at that point, we can really overreact because we'll have about 2 weeks worth of baseball.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to pause for just a moment. More coming up when we return. We'll step away from baseball. We'll talk college hoops. Final Four coming up this weekend. That's next on Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios.